Dan Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks.
I think it's a very sad day for America.
Former President Trump had harsh words after wrapping up his testimony today at his fraud trial in New York and called for the case to be dismissed. CBS's Graham Cates was in court.
It was very reminiscent of some of his debate performances. Long, long-winded answers, a refusal to just say yes or no to a question, and a constant combative tone toward both the judge and the lawyers who are questioning him.
Trump's business license in the state is on the line after a judge found him liable of lying to banks and investors for financial benefits. A major development in a criminal case in Colorado today, where a jury found a police officer not guilty of reckless manslaughter in the killing of Elijah McClain. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser.
At this moment, I'm thinking about Shanine McClain, who has fought hard to keep her son's memory alive and to live on as a blessing. No mother should go through what she's gone through.
McClain died after police put him in a chokehold in 2019 while medics injected him with ketamine to sedate him. Calls are growing now for a ceasefire in the Middle East. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
President Biden spoke to Israel's prime minister in a phone call on Monday, underscoring the need for a pause in strikes to get more humanitarian assistance to civilians in Gaza.
That aid was at the top of the agenda during the trip Secretary of State Antony Blinken just wrapped up in the region.
We're working, as I said, very aggressively on getting more humanitarian assistance into Gaza, and we have very concrete ways of doing that.
Israeli officials have said repeatedly that there will be no ceasefire until the more than 200 hostages Hamas is holding are released.
CBS News confirmed today at least 45 U.S. service members were injured in recent attacks linked to Iran in Iraq and Syria. That's more than double the original estimates. About two dozen may have traumatic brain injuries. SAG may be back at the negotiating table soon after reportedly countering the latest offers from studios and streamers in Hollywood that could end the ongoing actors strike. CBS's Carter Evans is in L.A.
One day stronger!
One day longer!
One day stronger!
After 116 days, could it soon be over? Over the weekend, SAG-AFTRA says it got what it describes as a last, best, and final three-year contract offer from the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
Podcast just got a little greener and meaner.
Welcome to the Grinch Show. Why? Why is there a Grinch Show? Well, because if you steal Christmas, even if you end up joining in on the festivities at the end, you have to pay the price. This is my community service.
The first two episodes out now. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is your hometown radio refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Milwaukee nonprofit has to return $800,000 of COVID relief money after it was found that the money was misused. CRC Employment and Entrepreneurial Services was awarded nearly $3 million in total. Some of that money was spent on an over $2,000 bowling party and paychecks to founder Cynthia Brown and her family. The organization also paid nearly $7,000 to State Senator Lena Taylor for work she did as an attorney. Taylor denies ever receiving any money. The group has 45 days to return the money. Republicans will have a top-tier candidate for U.S. Senate in a month or two. That's according to Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming. He says that Tammy Baldwin is not guaranteed re-election. Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler says he expects that Republican to be Madison businessman Eric Hovde. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Craig Counsell to the Chicago Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell agreeing to a new contract as the manager of the Chicago Cubs worth $40 million over the next 5 years, nearly $8 million per year, making him the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball history. Now, last week, the Brewers had said that they would match any offer for Counsell as he met with the Cleveland Guardians and then the New York Mets. The Cubs have now fired their manager, David Ross, after 4 years. He still had 1 year left on his contract. The Cubs issuing a press release thanking Ross for his services. Craig Counsell, who managed the crew for 9 seasons and led them to the postseason, season 5 times, had this to say after losing last month to Arizona in the playoffs.
This was a great team. And I think I told the guys, I said, you know, as you move forward in your careers, you should want to create teams like this. You should use your leadership to create an atmosphere like this. This was a team you want to be on.
That's Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 39. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 48 tomorrow. 42 tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Good evening, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here every Monday from 7 to 8 on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM. Right here in the middle of Purple Waukesha. Tonight, you know, I'm really, really honored to introduce, I'm sure many of you folks know, our chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler. So happy to have you, Ben. You're muted, Ben. This is radio.
Not anymore. I've recovered my voice, and I'm so glad to be with you here tonight. Mark, it's an honor to be with you on the Shaw and with all your listeners here in Paul Revere, and Anya, your amazing producer, who I met the other day in person. This is going to be a great segment.
So, you know, I really thought it would be great to hear from you. I've been seeing postings, articles in the paper. We're 1 year to win. 1 year to win in terms of keeping Wisconsin moving forward, keeping our democracy strong. But I thought my listeners would really like to hear it from you and not me. You know, generally, folks don't like talking to lawyers unless, you know, something goes bad. So what can you tell us, Ben? What's up?
Well, we have one big year, and this year will be a year when Wisconsin voters, and anyone who can listen to this right now, is probably in possession of a ballot that has more power contained in it. Your right to be able to vote in the state of Wisconsin, that has more power than just about anyone's ever had in the history of our democracy. Because Wisconsin is the state most likely to determine who wins the presidential election. And it's going to come down to a very small number of votes, most likely. The most recent poll that came out found a 2 percentage point margin in Wisconsin. That would be much bigger than recent elections. We've had 4 out of the last 6 presidential races come down to less than 1 percentage point. Wisconsin voters get to choose the president, and they get to decide whether to reelect Senator Tammy Baldwin, who is the key to the Senate majority that Democrats currently have. And if you add the White House and the Senate majority, you get the Supreme Court. So they affect that decision as well. And 1/4 of Wisconsin voters live in swing districts. They could decide the majority of the United States House, because Republicans only have a 5-seat advantage. So 40% of that could come from flipping the 1st and 3rd congressional districts in Wisconsin. All those things could decide, just based on Wisconsin votes, whether we have total Republican control, total Democratic control, or divided government, which in turn could decide whether we have a National Voting Rights Act, whether we have a National Women's Health Protection Act to put the protections of Roe versus Wade into law, or a national abortion ban and national threats to democracy. And that's not all, because the state Supreme Court is right now preparing to hear oral arguments on the question of whether our state legislative maps are unconstitutional. And if they strike down those maps, we would have a once in a generation chance to really wipe the table clean and choose potentially an entire new state legislature. The petitioners to the Supreme Court are asking for every state legislative office, not just the ones normally up in 2024, every one of them to be up in new constitutional districts in this next election, which means that in a state that has been described as a democracy desert because Republicans rigged our maps so hideously, we could have a chance to become a true democracy in this next election year, which means that voters who cast ballots over this next year can choose between a future of autocracy and authoritarian right-wing control in our state and our federal government, or a future of democracy and freedom and opportunity. And what we did this past weekend with 1 year out from the election is go out and knock on doors and call voters for more than 100,000 voters across Wisconsin, 425 different door-to-door canvas launches to make sure people knew the power that's in their hands and to listen to them and find out what is on their minds as we go into this incredibly important election year where Wisconsin voters are going to determine the fate of our country.
Wow, that is a lot to take in. Let me just sort of break it down a little bit, and maybe we could just take a step back, because we just recently, right, in April, elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz to our Supreme Court. And there was all this talk of impeaching her. And you launched a campaign really to take on primarily Speaker Voss and our state and his draconian measures. So how did that play out, and how did, is that really sort of move into this 1 year to win campaign?
So this spring, Wisconsin voters, who are known globally for how Wisconsin is the home of the nail biter, the home of the tiny margin elections, Wisconsin voters elected Janet Protasiewicz in an 11 percentage point, double digit landslide. It was like a blue state suddenly walked in. The reason this happened was some former Republicans voted for Janet Protasiewicz because the Republicans have gone too far in their attacks on democracy and abortion. And even more, in huge numbers, people voted who'd never voted in an election like this before, including young people across the state who turned out in record numbers for a state Supreme Court election. So that happened. And it took a few months before the new Supreme Court justice would be sworn in. Janet Protasiewicz was sworn in on August 1st. And immediately, Republicans began threatening to impeach her if she didn't recuse herself, remove herself from deciding on whether our state legislative maps, which have been rigged by the GOP for the last 12 years, are unconstitutional. They were threatening to abuse their power and kick her out unless she bowed down to their will and broke her own oath of office by not doing her job. She refused to do that. She issued a statement that said, her oath of office binds her to consider cases before her if she's not required to recuse them. And there's no basis for her to recuse in this question of whether our maps are gerrymandered or not. But between the time those threats came out and her decision, there was a citizen uprising in our state. And I'm proud that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and our members played a big role in that. And so did many other groups and organizations and individual citizens of good conscience, people knocking on doors in Republican districts and urging constituents to call their legislature, organizing town halls, sending letters to the editor, writing op-eds, former Supreme Court justices weighing in and saying it's outrageous to even consider or talk about impeaching someone for doing absolutely nothing wrong. This wave of public pressure erupted. And finally, when Justice Protasiewicz's decision to honor her oath and consider the case before her came through, the Republicans backed down. And so because of that, we still have this possibility of actually having a state Supreme Court consider whether our maps meet the constitutional standard or not. And that is a very, very new day in our state.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, so much of America is immediate social media today, this second, and we actually forget. And I think a lot of people overlook the fact that there had been a federal court that had determined that our maps were so gerrymandered that they were even unconstitutional under the federal law. Now, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court said, oh, we're not going to get to that. We're going to leave that up to state Supreme Courts. But people really forget, and those were, two of those judges were Republican-appointed judges. So we're not talking about a partisan analysis, right? I mean, if fair, people look at it fairly, they have said these maps are so rigged and so unfair.
That's right. I mean, everyone who's looked at these maps, who is not absolutely in the tank for the far, far right, looks at these maps and says that they're ridiculous. I will give one example from academia. There's something called the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. It's led by a social scientist named Sam Wang. And he has evaluated mathematically the partisan bias in every legislative map in the country. The number two biggest partisan gerrymander in America is the Wisconsin State Assembly. The number one biggest partisan gerrymander in America is the Wisconsin State Senate. And that is saying a lot in a country that includes the Texases, the Ron DeSantis's Florida, the new North Carolina maps. I mean, it's
Alabama.
Yes. It's so extreme and it's so outrageous. And it has been not just allowed to stand, it's been perpetrated on our state by a rogue Supreme Court until now. This is a moment that will be remembered, I think, as a hinge moment in the history of our state. And we've gotten to this point fighting back because of people power. I'm so grateful to everyone who's played a role in fighting this fight.
Well, and I think personally, I thank you for being out there and really, really rallying people. You know, this, you talk about citizens, and I really appreciate that, because you talk about their independence, they're even Republicans that have joined forces around an independent judiciary and new maps. As you go around the state, how do you see that energy playing out?
So this weekend, on Friday, I was in Milwaukee. On Saturday, my couple colleagues and I got up at 5:30 and went out to La Crosse and kicked off a door-to-door canvas, went to Eau Claire, met with a bunch of fired-up volunteers, kicked off a door-to-door canvas, drove up to Superior, went to sleep in Ashland, woke up and went to Tomahawk, then went to Appleton, then went to Glendale, then came back to Madison and joined a virtual kickoff for voter protection volunteers. And everywhere I went, there were Democrats who refused to give up, who were organizing, educating people, reaching out, talking to people in their own networks, and then knocking on doors in their own communities to make sure that they were connecting with the voters that were going to need to find the margin of victory next year. Now, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the public being fed up and being low interest levels and yada, yada, yada. But the fact is, we broke our own record in Wisconsin. We reached out to more than 105,000 voters in our 1 year to win organizing weekend. And that's possible, not because of, you know, what people are watching on MSNBC, but because of what people know in their hearts the stakes are for themselves and their families and for every kid and every person in the state. It really does come down to freedom. And I think that that work, the work you see in the party, is reflected in polling that finds that in Wisconsin, there's a huge advantage for Democrats in this moment on the question of democracy. Republicans have been, you know about this as well as anyone.
Yeah, let me just jump in here, Ben. We're going to go to a break. Folks, I want you to come back with more with the chair of the Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, and we're talking about 1 year to win and how we're going to keep, you know, democracy alive in Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is your Paul Revere Show.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
If they vote not to confirm you, that means essentially you're fired. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff.
There's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. They found a way to let the bar sink a little bit lower.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. on WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. Tonight, I'm honored and privileged to have the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, with us to share his thoughts, insights on what he has called one year to win to keep democracy alive in Wisconsin. 2024 is coming up quickly. We got elections starting in February. And how do you see it? And what do you see the key issues are? And what is it going to take to keep democracy alive in Wisconsin?
Well, the first thing it'll take is people deciding to run for office and supporting people who do, because none of this works if people don't put their names on the ballot. So, you know, you're right. We have primaries in February. If you want to be on the ballot in February, you've got to start collecting signatures to get on the ballot in December and turn them in the beginning of January. So this is coming up in a few weeks. There are probably folks listening right now who have thought about running for office one day. I encourage you, this might be the right moment. And you can contact your local Democratic County Party. These are nonpartisan offices, I should say, but we have volunteers ready to go to support people who, you know, share the kind of basic values of believing in freedom and opportunity and equality. So this is a key moment to do that. We're gonna need folks to prepare to run for state legislature in huge numbers. And then we're gonna need so many people to volunteer and help those people to get elected. Now, the threat that Republicans have posed over and over is to change the rules to ensure that, as Tim Michels put it in before 2022, he said, once I'm elected, no Republican will ever lose in Wisconsin. That's not how it's supposed to work. And, you know, I'm the chair of the Democratic Party. I don't want to create a world where the system is rigged for Democrats. I want a fair fight for both sides so we can compete to actually win support from voters. That's the goal here. But it's going to take preventing people who don't believe in democracy from having the power to change the laws however they want. So we have to stop Republicans from getting a supermajority in the state legislature if we don't have new maps. If we do have new maps, we should, you know, if there's a possibility, we should shoot for majorities in the state assembly and state senate. In the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, if we win majorities in both places, we could pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and Freedom to Vote Act, which would ban partisan gerrymandering nationwide, which would be so good. This shouldn't just be a state-by-state question. Those bills would prevent the kind of extreme Republican voter suppression maneuvers that they celebrated after they defeated Mandela Barnes in 2022, the chair of the 4th Congressional District, someone that you know very well, Mark Thompson, have the dubious honor of serving with. He wrote a memo bragging about how Republican efforts had driven down the Black and Hispanic vote in Milwaukee. It seemed like it was the greatest thing they'd ever done in order to get a victory for their guy. We have a lot of work to do to get to the point where people who believe in democracy can pass laws that reflect that belief and make sure those laws are fully and fairly and freely enforced. So to me, that's the roadmap. It's, you know, sometimes we're on defense, but I'd rather be on offense to actually make the guarantees of democracy, the birthright of every citizen in this country, to make that a reality for people, because we're so far from that now, but you can see the path there and it's tantalizing. And if we work hard enough, we're gonna get there.
You know, one thing that I observed in 2020, the youth vote and the women's vote really was crucial to moving democracy forward, moving the ball down the field. How do you see young people and women playing out and being involved in this one year to win?
Well, this is the key. It really is. And, you know, you and I are both white guys, and white guys are welcome. We Democrats want your support. But we have won elections. We've won 15 of the last 18 statewide elections in Wisconsin because women have turned out and voted for Democrats in larger numbers. And, you know, people across the gender spectrum, because young people have voted in record numbers in Wisconsin. We had the highest youth voter turnout in the country in 2022, and even higher in some areas in the spring Supreme Court election, because of the votes of people of color who are voting in higher numbers in Wisconsin than they have before. Black folks, Hispanic folks, AAPI Wisconsinites, Native American. The biggest Democratic margin in the state of Wisconsin is in Menominee County, which is the same as the Menominee Reservation. And the reason why it's a county is because the U.S. federal government terminated recognition of that tribe. And then Ada Deer and the Menominee Rights Restoration Committee, they fought back, got recognition restored. So now they're a county and a reservation in one. It's the most Democratic spot in the state of Wisconsin. It takes everyone. We are the big tent party. And for folks that Republicans keep trying to attack and take away their rights and freedoms, those very people fighting back have delivered the margins of victory in election after election after election. And that is what grounds the Democratic Party in the belief and the knowledge that we have to keep fighting for a freer state where everyone has the full power to participate, because that's where Democrats get their power, is when everybody jumps into the fight. Republicans get their power when they restrict the ballot, when they restrict power, when they deny people their full and free franchise. I'd rather that they actually compete and try to persuade. But until they do that, we have to stop them from having the power to take away people's most fundamental freedoms in a democracy. That's what's at stake in this election. It feels like it's been at stake for a few elections in a row now. But in some ways, this is the big one, because it's from every level of government that Wisconsin voters are going to make the decisions that will echo across the landscape in American democracy and through the future history of Wisconsin.
You know, you've been across the state. You just launched, you know, last weekend you said there were 105,000 people contacted. You know, my mom used to live up in Washira County, and I still have a place up there. Washira County voted for President Obama in 08, you know, and it's primarily a white community, but it's relatively poor. Have you seen the, you know, positive things happen north rural Wisconsin with President Biden's bills? And you got 30 seconds.
I was on the phone with the Washira County Democratic Party chair today, Ruth Cave. She and I were talking and checking in. She's engaged. There are Democrats in every part of the state, in the most rural conservative areas. And the Democratic number of votes has been going up. Every single county had more Democratic votes in 20 than 16. And now we've been delivering for people, making sure there are strong middle-class jobs, record low unemployment in the state. And it means that in places like Washira County, Democrats have shown that they have people's back, and voters are going to know it as we go into 2024.
Ben Wickler, folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. Thank you much. Register to vote. Get out. Get active. Help save democracy. We'll be right back.
Yep, all good from here. No problem. Talk to you next week. Yep, all good from here.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump wraps up testimony at his New York civil fraud trial, clashing with the judge and defending his business record. Attorney General Letitia James says Trump isn't fooling anyone with his distractions.
Justice will prevail, and it's important that all of you understand
that we have already been victorious in our motion for summary judgment.
Israel Defense Forces expect to advance on Gaza City, spokesman Daniel Hagari through an interpreter.
IDF forces reached the seashore in the southern part of Gaza City, and they encircled it. Now, there exists a South Gaza and a North Gaza.
Denver area police officer Nathan Woodyard is acquitted in the 2019 death of Elijah McClain, a black man who was put in a neck hold and injected with ketamine while walking home from a store. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser.
Today's verdict is not the one that we had hoped for, but we respect the jury system and we accept the outcome.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin is out with a $32 million workforce development plan. It's the system's attempt to recover money Republicans cut from state universities in the state budget. The budget lets the universities recover the money if it's spent on workforce development and not diversity efforts. Republicans are also holding up pay raises for faculty and staff until Wisconsin universities cut diversity spending. State lawmakers considering spending taxpayer money on American Family Field have some more to think about after taking a tour of the Brewers Stadium. The bill that passed the assembly would spend more than $500 million in public money. But for now, there aren't enough votes to pass the Senate. Governor Evers says he would sign a bill if it were to pass in the legislature. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 39. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 48 tomorrow. 42 tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Bernie Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 at WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. Your civic media station statewide. And folks, the first half of the hour, we had Pastor Greg Lewis of Souls of the Polls with us, talking about the attack on the independent judiciary, the attack on Fair Maps. And I wanted to make sure you all heard about it and look at, if you're free tomorrow, show up. There's a rally by the SEIU, by Souls of the Polls, Voces de la Frontera, and around the state, a rally in Madison, 3:30 p.m., State Capitol Building in the Rotunda, 2 East Main Street. There's a march to Speaker Voss's office to deliver signed letters opposing the recent anti-democratic actions of the legislature. And folks, I thought in this milieu, these circumstances, it would be perfect to have a friend of mine joined me on the second half of the show, Joe Czarnecki. He and I had the privilege of serving 6 months together on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Joe's a lifelong public servant and only survived the Wisconsin Election Commissions for 6 months. And I thought, what better person to talk about the bullying going on in Wisconsin other than someone that just got bullied and run out of town for no good reason other than he wanted to serve the public. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So why don't you give my listeners a little bit of background on your involvement in public service for your lifetime, and so they get a feel of how you end up with on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and how all, you know, why we're having this conversation here today, the day before there's a protest in Madison about the attack on democracy. So share it with us.
I spent my entire career in public service, and I served in the state legislature for 12 years, served 2 years in the assembly, 10 years in the state senate. After that, I went to work for the city of Milwaukee, where I worked for three different mayors, Mayor Norquist, Mayor Barrett, and Mayor Pratt. After that, I taught applied economics and political science at Milwaukee Area Technical College. And then I was elected Milwaukee County Clerk, where I served in that position for 8 years. Then I was happily retired for 2 years. And some folks talked me into running for the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, and I was elected to the county board, where I served for 2 more years. Then I was retired once again until Governor Evers called me and said, everyone says you're the guy to serve on the elections board. And I said, who's everyone? It was an honor to serve for 6 months. It was disappointing the way things ended. I think it was real an attack on democracy, because Wisconsin has this great history, this great tradition of having citizen boards and commissions, which make public policy, which provide the oversight function for state agencies. And we've had this, since the beginning of the progressive era here in the state of Wisconsin. And to have the Republicans in the state Senate not only reject me, but reject people to the Department of Natural Resources Board and other boards simply because they disagree with them politically is very anti-democratic. It takes democracy away from the people of this state who have a direct voice in making public policy here in the state of Wisconsin through these citizen boards and commissions. And my biggest fear when we see the legislature act this irresponsibly, I'm fearful that it's going to discourage qualified individuals from volunteering their time to serve on these boards and commissions. And quite frankly, what I hope it happens is it has the opposite effect, is it says to people, no, if the Republicans are going to do this, this is all the more reason we need to get involved. We need to be more active. We need to participate in these boards and commissions. We need to get out there and vote, because that's the only way we're going to preserve democracy. Governor Evers was elected by the people of the state of Wisconsin. The legislature knows that he is going to appoint people to these boards and commissions who share his political philosophy. That's why he was elected. So it shouldn't be a surprise that he's going to appoint people who agree with him on various issues. And the legislature shouldn't just be rejecting people because for some reason they don't like him.
I think a lot of times people forget to put it in perspective. And, you know, we have a lot of young voters now that as adults and thinking about voting, all they have seen is dysfunction. And they've never really seen a time where government can actually work to the benefit of the people. So, you know, you were in Madison for a long time. You worked with several governors, right?
Yes, worked with two Republican governors. When I was first elected to the assembly, Lee Dreyfus was governor. I'm showing my age now. And then we had Tony Earl. And then for the bulk of the time I was in the legislature, we had Tommy Thompson. And, you know, we had to work together with them. And we worked, Democrats and Republicans in the legislature worked together. I mean, we argued and we debated when we were on the floor. But after our debates and our disagreements on various issues, we all went out and had a beer together afterwards. And it wasn't personal. We didn't attack people. We disagreed on issues. But, majority ruled. And, we moved on to fight again the next day.
You know, let's talk about your experience in terms of appointees. When Republican governors like Tommy Thompson or Lee Dreyfus appointed, how did the Democrats in the Assembly and the Senate at that time respond? I mean, you were in the Assembly at that, right? And you were in the Senate. So what's changed? What do you see that has really changed in our politics?
Well, if you look at it in perspective, you know, in the 10 years I was in the Senate, I remember voting once against a gubernatorial appointee, once in 10 years. I think it was brought up on the Senate floor during the debate on my confirmation that since 1981, the Senate has rejected something like 5 gubernatorial appointees. Here, just in the last week, they almost doubled it. If they didn't double it, rejecting the number of gubernatorial appointees. What has changed? I guess that's the question that needs to be asked. I think that the Republican Party seems to be more focused on authoritarianism than on democracy right now. And I think that that's a very dangerous thing, not only for the state of Wisconsin, but for our nation as a whole. We need to preserve democracy. People need to get out and vote. People need to participate in these citizen boards and commissions. You talk about the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We had prior to that, and actually when I was county clerk in Milwaukee County, we had the Government Accountability Board, which was much different. It was governed by former judges who were nonpartisan individuals. The Republicans in the legislature created the Wisconsin Elections Commission with a 3-3 divided vote. There are 3 Republicans and there are 3 Democrats. My personal opinion is that it was purposely created to accomplish nothing. I think they assumed everything would be a 3-3 vote and nothing would get done. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. In my short term on the commission, I think I can only call 1 or 2 votes that weren't unanimous. So the Democrats and Republicans on the Elections Commission did work together. They did agree. When there were differences, they worked out a compromise. And that's the way democracy should work. But unfortunately, it appears that's not how the Republicans in the legislature want it to work.
You know, you've been around and you've seen a lot of maps developed. How do you perceive this whole concept of the gerrymandered maps, how they came about, and what's the road forward as a public servant that's been through the battles in the trenches and now thrown out by a bunch of bullies?
Well, the map situation has always been controversial. When I was in my first term in the legislature, it went to federal court, and the federal court drew the maps. Now we've seen the last two times around, the Republicans have had the legislature, they've had the governorship, and they've been able to have maps that, again, favor the Republicans in elections. When you look at the last several elections, you have over 60% of the people in the state of Wisconsin voted for a Democrat for the state legislature, yet in the state assembly, of the 99 seats, the Republicans have a two-thirds majority. So I think the only way around this is we come up with a system. And again, this is something where my personal opinion has evolved. When I was in the legislature, I felt, as the Republicans in the legislature feel today, no, the legislature should be doing this. But now I think we need to look at perhaps some type of nonpartisan basis where we can have some competitive maps where people can vote and decide on who is best elected. And until we do that, we're not going to get away from these distractions that we have now with these appointments, like on the election commission. This is a total distraction from the upcoming election. It's just, as Governor Evers says, you know, it's insanity. It's just plain wrong. And we need to get away from that somehow.
You know, you talk about we're facing the 2024 election, and, you know, on the maps, the Janet Protasiewicz, now Justice Janet, ran statewide, garnering 11% victory, 11-point victory. And on one of the themes was that, you know, she would address the fair maps. And then we had Voss and company use this impeachment tool. The second, the lawsuits had got filed for new maps. How do you perceive that power play and the use of impeachment of someone that just won by 11 points?
Well, I think it's another attempt to take democracy away from the people of the state of Wisconsin. As you pointed out, Justice Protasiewicz won overwhelmingly. And to take that away from the people of the state of Wisconsin when she's, you know, virtually hasn't had a chance to rule on a single case is just plain wrong. You know, she said that, you know, the maps were unfair. She didn't say they were unconstitutional. She said they were unfair, and they are unfair. And, you know, she's being penalized for being honest. And again, it's just another attempt by the Republicans in the legislature to take democracy away from the voters of the state of Wisconsin.
So as you talk to your friends, what are you hearing in terms of how people are going to respond, or what are they thinking about Voss's and this new really anti-democratic section of the Republican Party?
Well, people are frustrated. And again, my fear is that their frustration will lead them to throw up their hands, give up and say, I'm not going to vote. And again, what I urge people to do is, no, you should be doing just the opposite. This should inspire you to get out there and be active. Vote. Go to the protests. You know, make your voice heard and stand up for democracy here in Wisconsin and in the United States of America.
So, folks, I am honored and privileged to have Joe Czarnecki with me, former fellow member of the Wisconsin Election Commission, a former assembly representative, a former senator, former county supervisor. He'll be back with me on the other side of the break. But he did say, go out there and protest. So folks, tomorrow, go to Madison, go to the Capitol, 3:30 Central Time, and go protest for a fair judiciary.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
We got back of pride. We ain't gonna drop three in a row.
You already dropped three in a row.
Not no more.
Not again, you mean?
See, here's the thing, Earl. If you play in a division of four, it's a different game.
Well, they played the Detroit Lions in division of four and got their heads handed to them.
But this is another one, the one we should beat.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK. Yep. The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. I'm honored to have with me tonight former Wisconsin Election Commission member Joe Czarneski. And I really think it's important for people to think about what happened to Joe and other folks like him. And you know, Joe served for 6 months on the Wisconsin Election Commission. He was appointed by the governor. And as he said before the break, virtually 95% of the votes he took as a member of the Wisconsin Election Commission were unanimous, meaning Joe and I and four other commissioners, even Bob Spindell, who is a, you know, I call him a renegade commissioner because he's a believer in the Trump illusion and the fake electors, but more on that later. We voted together. And so Joe, you go to the Senate for your Senate confirmation hearing. Why, or how did you perceive it? Why weren't you approved if virtually there was, right, no reason for you not to serve?
Well, there was a public hearing before the Senate Elections Committee on my appointment. And I think they essentially asked me two questions. One dealt with the pandemic and the polling places in the city of Milwaukee during 2020, which I certainly had no control over. And the other question they asked me numerous times was, why did I abstain from the vote to reappoint Megan Wolf as the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission? And what I explained to them was there was no vacancy. She was legally a holdover in that position. And therefore, there was absolutely no reason to reappoint her. She was already there. And again, they kept asking me that question over and over again. And then the thing that you know, probably hurt me the most personally was when two state senators, you know, accused me of violating the law by abstaining on that vote. And, you know, I don't know what law I violated, but I'll leave that up to them. But, you know, I found it interesting that, you know, the day before my actual confirmation vote in the full Senate came up is that the Republican legislators in a filing in state court, you know, admitted that they were wrong and I was right, that they had no authority to appoint someone as administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, that JCLO, the Joint Legislative Committee organization, had no right to make an appointment, and that it was just a symbolic vote. And therefore, you know, my vote was a proper vote. They agreed with me. So I think that that was the only reason. In fact, that was the only reason given on the Senate floor during my debate. There was only one Republican senator who spoke.
You know, I want folks to hear what Joe said and think about it. The Senate and the Senate leader, LeMahieu, right? I always mispronounce his name. My apologies, Senator. The day before Joe's hearing, the Senate files a legal document in court, not just this political nonsense talking about, but actually what the law was. And they admitted in court that the Senate never had the authority to discuss the confirmation because there was no proposed confirmation there, that Megan Wolf was a legal holdover, and that everything was symbolic. It wasn't symbolic because it cost Joe his time. Now, to be true, we don't get paid to serve on the election commission. Get $110 something for a meeting, right? That's so nobody's doing this for money, but it's to do service and to fight for democracy. And the day before they hear, and Joe appears before them, they admit that everything Joe said at the meeting on the vote on Megan Wolf was legal and correct. Now, to me, this is kind of hypocrisy and bullying that's just, seems to me, crosses the line in Wisconsin, and we're in a new arena. And, you know, we've seen it a couple other times. Dean Knutson, the former chair of the Election Commission, after I served as the first chair, he had the integrity at a Wisconsin Election Commission meeting say Donald Trump lost. We counted the votes fair and square, and Donald Trump lost. I'm a conservative. I voted for Trump, but we lost, and we need to end it. And his own party ran him out and off the commission. I mean, that kind of vindictiveness of their own people. I mean, Dean Knutson helped create the Election Commission, drafted the legislation with Speaker Voss. And Speaker Voss let Dean Knutson get run out of town for telling the truth. And the truth is Donald Trump lost. Biggest loser ever. Now he's an indicted criminal. But this small group of people continue to pound. We had Marge Bosselman, right, Joe? And also a fellow commissioner. Lifetime Republican, out of Green Lake.
Yeah, Marge told me she voted for Donald Trump twice, and they're trying to run her out.
Not only trying, right? They filed a lawsuit to throw her off the commission, right? And so, I mean, folks, somebody, and we need folks out there, needs to call Voss up, our Senate, somebody has to get some sense and integrity and belief in people again. We need to go back to moving Wisconsin forward. And I don't like to get preachy, but Joe, you got the last 30 seconds here. What's your lesson to people?
Vote, vote, vote. Be active as you possibly can. This is insanity by the Republicans in the state legislature. And the only way we can rectify that situation is get out on election day and vote.
And thank you, Joe. And in the meantime, folks, there's a rally tomorrow for an independent judiciary.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is Civic Media. This is Civic Media.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.